back to yet another edition of the Jet Stream. My name's Jesse Finver. Along with me, as always, Connor Sheeran. Connor, thank God, man.
Yeah.
The season's over.
Season's over. And couldn't have come soon enough. Like 4 o'clock hit on Sunday, and I was like, all right, see you in September, assholes. it was a great feeling. And I know as far as the game goes, there was mixed reactions amongst the Jets fan base, but guess what? They won, so deal with that. And we worry about draft ramifications in April.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are picking 10th now. They took Garrett Wilson 10th 2 years ago. So you know that they can get good players at 10. Maybe this means they go with, like, a Romeo Odunze now, who we watched Michael Penix overthrow multiple times last night in the national championship.
Michael Penix may have actually, like, just lowered his draft stock by, like, two rounds last night.
Yeah, 2 to 3 rounds.
Terrible.
So a lot of talking yesterday being done by those in the Jets organization, and I wanted to go through it with you. Before we get started, though, did anything in particular, do you want to talk about the Patriots game at all?
The only thing, I guess, of note that I would say is shout out Breece. Got himself 1,500.
Yeah.
Came 6 yards shy of 1,000 rushing yards this season.
Yeah.
Which I now get why they were running him so much, because I was like screaming my head off towards the end of the game. I was like, why is he still in this game?
Yeah.
He's going to blow out his knee. He's going to blow out an ACL. Like, this is just going to end poorly. And now I get why they were running him so much.
Yeah. They wanted him to get that.
They wanted him to get it. And which actually, before we, it goes back to, we'll jump into Sal and Douglas, but Sal is saying, oh, yeah, our math guy on the sidelines got it wrong. And he's like, oh, yeah, it turns out Breece is actually 6 yards shy. He's like,
let's get a new math guy.
Yeah, let's get a new math guy.
Let's get a new math guy.
Let's get a new math guy with an abacus on the sidelines that can keep track of numbers better than whoever is on the sideline. And,
seriously.
Granted, maybe tallying yards was
Get rid of the hold me back guy. He doesn't even need to hold Salah back anymore. Salah doesn't go on the field. He doesn't show any emotion. So
yeah, he's pretty much.
You can just see him mouthing, because he'll yell at a ref, but he won't yell. He'll just be like, "That is so bullshit," or "That is so wrong."
He'll get excited if the defense makes a big play, but other than that, I think he's just been like the second half of the season. He's been as dead inside as the rest of us.
Yeah.
So in that sense, he's relatable. But
it was nice to beat the Patriots.
It's like we said last week. It was sort of some people were calling it lose-lose. You and I called it win-win. I personally was happy, especially on that Breece run for the touchdown.
Oh yeah, I kept the parlay of mine alive. That was pretty electric. Yeah,
shout out Breece.
Couldn't believe that he actually scored a touchdown there.
Yeah, I mean,
did that parlay hit? No.
No. But at least Breece made his contribution, I guess.
Yes.
Beating the Patriots by double digits in New England, and Belichick, that could have been in his last game in New England. Like, come on, Jets fans. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me after 20 years of torture at the hands of this man that doesn't feel a little bit good. And yeah, I know I get the argument, oh, they won another meaningless game. Yeah, if they went in there week 18 and they beat the Dolphins, who were resting all their starters, or they were playing the Bills, who were resting all their starters, and they won, yeah, I get that. I'd probably be annoyed too, but that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, sue me. It felt good.
No, it felt good. It felt good to send Bill packing in his last game ever. I remember where I was and who I was with when the Titans sent Tom packing. And I'll never forget that. Yeah. And I will never forget what I was doing when we sent Bill packing.
Yeah.
Those two gave us so much pain.
Yep.
For so many years.
It was
nice to see.
I remember where I was when the Titans sent Tom packing. I was in Brass Monkey on the west side of Manhattan, watching Derrick Henry tear it up. Pretty sure Ryan Tannehill threw like 15 passes that game. but that was great to see. So
Yeah, I was in Dallas visiting a friend because I was I was working and I was also visiting a friend. I was working the Armed Forces Bowl. Southern Miss was playing Tulane. That was the game that Quez Watkins took me out. And by took me out, I mean like caught a pass on the sideline and leveled me. I'm just happy that we're done. Done with Bill Belichick. It's over. And there's always gonna be a part of me that's like afraid of the Patriots just because of like what they've done to us. Our buddy Blake doesn't seem to be worried at all. He thinks they're gonna draft somebody and he's gonna be a bust and they're gonna be terrible for the next zillion years.
I don't understand where that deal is coming from.
Well, I mean, they could have you know, the deal with the devil that Bill and Tom made, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the chickens are gonna come home to roost, I guess, is what he's saying.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it has to at some point for this franchise. I mean, on top of that, and it isn't full blown guaranteed that Belichick's gone, but I can't imagine a world where he's back. On top of Belichick, like walking across the field to go shake Salah's hand, and snow's coming down, his hood's up, and he's like kind of taking it off. He's looking all grumpy. On top of that, seeing Robert Kraft walk out after the Breece Hall touchdown was also awesome, because so many things about that guy bother me too, especially on top of everything, Patriots fans calling him Mr. Kraft. I think that's the weirdest thing on like the face of the earth. Like imagine Jets fans walked around calling Woody Johnson Mr. Johnson.
Granted, I call him that piece of garbage.
Like, exactly. I mean, granted, he hasn't earned that, I guess, but I still find it so weird. It's like, this is a grown man, he's a stranger. Stop calling him Mr. Kraft.
And he's a billionaire. Like that gives you another reason to not like him.
Exactly.
yeah, he just comes off as very phony to me. But I've never been a Bob Kraft guy. Calling him Mr. Kraft. No,
it's weird.
All right. Fuck the Patriots. That was great that we beat them. I don't care what anybody says. It would be nice to have had the top five pick and get that tackle. I don't know, man. It was nice beating the Patriots. It just was.
They haven't beaten them in almost 3,000 days.
Like, yeah. It's been so long.
I'm looking forward to not having announcers and not getting that brought up next season.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, the Jets still haven't beaten the Patriots in
9 years. That was, like, we don't need that distraction next year. Like, oh, like, are they finally going to beat the Patriots? Like, yes, they're going to beat the Patriots twice next year.
Just don't make that narrative anymore. Like,
yeah,
it's bad. Like, let them soak in the fact that Belichick's last game, he lost to he lost to fucking Trevor Siemian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he went out sad. His team scored 3 points and gave up, and they lost by double digits to his most hated team that he loved to beat down into the gutter over the course of the past 20.
Bill's miserable.
Yeah.
Bill's miserable, right?
I mean, he's always miserable, but I like to think he's double miserable now.
Yeah. 100%. And he wanted to prove that he could do it without Tom, and he clearly could have. He
failed.
Just because, like any other coach, you need a quarterback, and he didn't have one.
Nope.
All right. So, yesterday, moving on, unless you have anything else you want to talk about.
No, I mean, yeah, shout out Breece. I'm glad Garrett Wilson seems to be okay. Kind of looked like he got pretty shaken up on that.
Hit. He's definitely not okay. He
well, he's pissed.
Yeah.
I meant more from an injury perspective.
Yes. Yeah. Thankfully,
mentally, he's pissed. So,
oh, yeah.
It's like I said yesterday, it's like you would have never thought that the Jets won on Sunday, given the reaction
yesterday.
Players. Yeah. Fan base, like you would have never thought in a million years that they won. But yeah, so from a physical standpoint, I'm glad Garrett's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's get into it. First up was Salah. So he was asked, we're going to go deep dive into all of this because, you know, we have lots and lots of things that these people were asked. We're going to go through all everything we can find. But they started off by asking him to evaluate his first 3 years. He goes, I'll leave that to you guys. There's a lot of frustration. We felt good about taking that next step this year. We got better this year. No, the fuck you did.
You
not.
Did. That is a lie, sir.
You like, did not get better this year. You played like garbage this year. The offense was the worst I've ever seen. Like, I've never seen an offense this bad as a Jets fan. And we watched Adam Gase and Sam Darnold.
At least they had the excuse of just flat out not having any playmakers.
Yeah.
The Jets have two on offense right now.
Jamison Crowder and Chris Ivory.
And Frank Gore.
Frank Gore.
Like,
may have been pre-Sam Darnold, actually, but the points still stand. Bad running backs, bad wide receivers, bad offense, and this was worse. So then he goes, he's evaluating the staff, and some guys will have opportunities elsewhere, but he's not anticipating anything significant. Not firing Keith Carter and Todd Downing. It's unacceptable. And I hate feeling like this because I don't want to come for somebody else's job, another grown man's job. But this is the NFL. All right. This is, you know, you work in a pro sports league for a professional sports team. There are expectations and there should be consequences if you don't reach those expectations. Keith Carter's been here for it may be just one season. I think it's just one season.
I think so. Let's double check here.
I think it's two seasons, but I'm not 100% sure. Either way, the offensive line was horrendous.
Yeah, it was his first year.
His first year. Yeah. So I guess they're like, yeah, like we got to give him another year. Why? Mm-hmm. Nothing this guy did worked this year at all. The offensive line could not do anything. It was incredibly frustrating watching this offensive line play this year. And, you know, there needs to be repercussions. There needs to be accountability. And the fact that nobody's being fired. Nobody.
Nobody of significance. He's going to fire, like, an assistant pass game assist like coach or something and claim that that's accountability.
Bullshit. That's what it is.
It's
a load of crap. Keep on evaluating the staff, bro. Until I see somebody of significance fired, why would I have any hope, like real hope for next year? For like any meaningful change on the offensive line. Aaron Rodgers can fix a lot of things. He can't fix pass protection that much. He can get the ball out faster. He can tell people where to block. But at a certain point, like the sheer lack of skill is just too much to overcome. And the lack of coaching is too much to overcome. You can't go into next season with the exact same plan. You just can't.
Right.
And that's what it seems like the plan is, to just run it back. And that sucks.
That's like absolutely, like on top of, regardless of where you stood on keeping Saleh and Douglas, that seems to be a massive split amongst the Jets fan base that I think towards the end of the season tilted towards firing both of them. I know you were in the camp of firing both of them, but I think at the
more Carter than Downing. I mean
the way, like, three people that should have been fired yesterday were Keith Carter, offensive line coach, as we just said, Todd Downing, passing game coordinator, and Rob Calabrese, quarterback's coach. All three of them should have been gone because, first of all, Calabrese, he came in and he was like, he's the quarterback's coach. He's not coaching Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, it's like we said before the season started, you can't coach that guy anymore. He's just is. It's like, so his job was to try and get Zach Wilson ready or Trevor Siemian ready or Tim Boyle ready. He failed miserably at that. the entire season. So if you want, if you were so desperate to keep Hackett because you need to placate Aaron Rodgers, then those three guys, or at least one or two of them, needed to go. They needed to go. I don't
understand. It's just so frustrating. We watch, we see all these teams. Like, I can't stop thinking about the Browns.
Right.
They lost just as many, if not more, guys than the Jets did, especially on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They're 11 and 6 in the playoffs.
They're
in the playoffs.
With Joe Flacco as their quarterback. And no, I mean, yes, they have Amari Cooper, but
we have Garrett Wilson.
We have Garrett Wilson.
And we have Breece. They lost Nick Chubb.
Yeah. There's absolutely, and I mean,
Conklin's good, and Njoku is also good. Like, the Jets have, like, the Jets are almost a carbon copy of the Browns.
Right. Great defense. And offense was battered by injuries, you know?
You know what the difference is? And I've said it multiple weeks in a row now. Coaching.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is coaching. Stefanski's a good coach. Robert Saleh's not. Biggest difference. It's insane.
I think Saleh's just afraid. He's just outside of that video from Hard Knocks where he called out the offensive line in front of the entire team. Show me a moment where you saw or heard about any sort of accountability from Saleh towards a player, towards a coach.
And it needs to be in the media too. It can't just
be behind closed doors. He keeps saying it's like, we're keeping that in-house. We're keeping that in-house. Okay, cool. But we have no idea what that means. And it's
better this year.
Yeah. Give me a break. And how many times do we hear, oh yeah, we're so close. We're so close. And thank God Conklin said yesterday, he's like, I think we're close. Like, we're close to being a Super Bowl team. And it's like, I know people are tired of hearing that. It's like, thank God somebody said it. Someone said that we're tired of that. Or, you know, next year is going to be like our year. I know people are tired of hearing of that. It's like, yeah, we kind of are. And we have been for quite some time. And I'm glad even that short little phrase was just good to hear. It's like, okay, so you do hear what everyone's been shouting at you for a while. And the fact that it had to come from a player is annoying. And one of the Jets' better players, you know, Tyler Conklin, like you said, good, solid tight end. Guy can catch the ball. Guy can run good routes. And he's tough. He can drag guys for like an extra 4 or 5 yards after he makes a catch. That guy never wavered, never complained about anything. He went this entire season without scoring a touchdown. And he still, you know, was one of the team's better. Yeah, was one of the team's better players. One of the team's better, you know, vocal.
I think he was second in receiving.
Yeah, and he didn't get a single touchdown this season. So good on him. I'm glad he's here and a part of the team. But it all comes back down to it just feels like as if there's zero accountability from Saleh, and that really sucks because he's expecting us to buy in on the fact that things will change next season. And we all know what's going to happen as Jet fans. They're going to make a few moves in the offseason, hook us back in. They're either going to trade for Devontae Adams or they're going to sign T. Higgins.
Saleh said it's going to be very important. The quote was, it's going to be very important to find another threat that takes some attention off of Garrett Wilson in the passing game.
That's going to be their big move. I think they're going to focus on getting a wide receiver.
It'll probably be like Mike Evans or T. Higgins. Yeah. I don't think Devontae's coming. If Antonio Pierce stays, he's going to stay in Las Vegas.
I'd almost rather them sign someone than trade for Adams.
Yeah.
I feel like they, as if they need the picks, and there's going to be some room on the cap, which is fake, to make the moves necessary to, you know, sign one of those guys. And a guy like T. Higgins is used to being the wide receiver too in Cincinnati. So he knows, I'm guessing, what his asking price is.
Yeah, you know what they should do? They should just run it back because, you know, what I saw yesterday was Alan Lazard is going to be much better.
Going to be so much better next year. Mm-hmm. Alan understands. Oh, yeah. He understands his like 400 yards catching and one touchdown. Is that what it is? Or have you just been watching the clip from week 1 where he jumped over Garrett Wilson over and over, and that's your evidence that things are going to change with that guy? God, I can't wait for him to be off the team.
So bad.
Two main level bad signing. And yeah, so Alan Lazard is not your wide receiver too, and the threat that you hoped he would be to take the weight off of Garrett Wilson's shoulders. And it is a miracle that him and Breece made it through the entire season, because God only knows what would have happened if one of them went down, watching. Because I don't think Izzy Abanaconda is, I don't know.
Anything special.
Special. I mean, I haven't, anytime he played, can't say anything like was anything jumped out.
No, Breece is by far the best offensive. It's Breece and Garrett. They're the only two guys worth keeping. All right. So some other quick things. Salah wants to keep ABT in one position next year. So it looks like we'll be looking for a right tackle. He thinks Keith Carter did a really nice job this year. Okay. All right. So that's the end of Salah's quotes. Next up was Aaron Rodgers. I talked about Zach Wilson a little bit. Sometimes a change of scenery can be a breath of fresh air. So Zach's getting traded for sure.
Oh, yeah. That was basically confirmed.
Rodgers says he needs to shore up the O-line. He needs some receiver help probably. Likes where we're at from a schematic standpoint. Of course he does. He won two MVPs with this scheme. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'll push for Devontae Adams. But like I said a minute ago, I think that he's going to stay in Las Vegas if Antonio Pierce was the head coach. I mean, Devontae said it was the most fun he's ever had playing football since Antonio Pierce took over.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to compete with that. It helps out Aaron Rodgers.
And Antonio Pierce looked like he was kind of up to the job. I'd be honestly shocked that they didn't make him the full-time head coach.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good coach. He had them ready to play every week. He had Aiden O'Connell looking pretty good.
Players loved him.
Yeah, the players loved him.
Chances would be a lot higher of Devontae coming here if McDaniels went the full season with the Raiders. But yeah, Antonio Pierce staying, I think, has diminished those chances.
Yeah. Rodgers on how much he'll be involved in recruiting players to the Jets this offseason. As much or as little as they want. Let's pump those numbers up. We're all going to be on the hot seat next year. Yes, you will. All right, here's the quote that got a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in this building that we're doing that has nothing to do with winning needs to be assessed. Everything that we do has to have a purpose. The bullshit that has nothing to do with winning has to get out of the building. So, like, you've had McAfee appearances.
It is literally Tim Robinson. We're all trying to find the guy who did this.
Yes.
And it's, dude, like,
that's every reply also.
What?
Every reply on the original, whoever tweeted it first. Yeah.
Went out last week and called Jimmy Kimmel a pedophile. And you said that, like, you're talking about distractions.
Like, We disavow that. Disavow.
Yes, we disavow. Jimmy Kimmel is not a pedophile. We are not on board with that theory. And
this podcast is anti-pedophile.
We like to get out ahead of it now. This podcast is very anti-pedophile, as it should be. And
can't say I support Aaron Rodgers and his take.
That was weird. And if that was his like idea of getting back at Jimmy Kimmel for a joke that he made last year, it's like, well, why'd you wait this long to make a joke about Jimmy Kimmel?
Aaron's not exactly the smartest man.
No, he's
really good at throwing the football.
Yes, very good at throwing the football.
But he believes a lot of things that aren't true.
Or if you, I mean, and hey, if this is America, if you want to believe 9/11 was an inside job and lizards are controlling the government or whatever the hell Aaron Rodgers believes, sure.
Dolphin sex, wounds.
Go ahead, be my guest. Please keep it to yourself if you're in a public space, Because guess what?
We don't need to hear it.
We're all tired of like trying to bend over back. I'm sure Packers fans are the same way. And we're all tired of, like, bending over backwards trying to, like...
This guy's played four snaps for us.
Yeah, make it seem as if, you know, this is okay. Yes, Aaron, it's perfectly fine that you went on, you know, a national TV appearance.
And... It's just because he's bored. He has nothing to talk about. Like,
if, yeah.
Like, next year, there's not going to be... It's not going to be like this next year because, like, they're going to be able to talk to him about football stuff.
You know? I hope so. Yeah. And then I'm sure you saw what was Thursday Night Football. Was that 2 weeks ago? Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, Aaron, yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick here, double vaccinated. Yeah. I was like, that's good, but that's a good one. That's a good one.
I love that. Two Jets quarterbacks just chopping it up.
Just trading Jets, jibber jabbing.
So yeah, Aaron, do a little bit less off the field. The fields. Yeah, I mean, we're screaming into the void right now. Nothing's going to change.
A little question, please.
CJ Mosley up next. Iron sharpens iron. With Connor Hughes sitting right in front of him, basically a middle finger, according to Zach Rosenblatt. CJ Mosley yells, "Bryce Huff, stay." So, who do you want the franchise tag to be used on this offseason? Because I want it to be used on Bryce Huff.
Me too.
But feels like a waste a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have Will McDonald sitting in the wings. And it feels like a waste as well to just let your homegrown undrafted free agent 10.5 sack guy walk out the door. But I don't even think he's considering the Jets. Like, I think he wants an every down role, and the Jets just aren't going to give that to him. The way Saleh runs his offensive, his defensive line, mm-hmm. you know, it's a rotation.
Yeah.
Like, and you're good, Bryce. You're not Quinnen Williams. I'm interested to see what he gets in the open market this offseason. And I'm going to root for him wherever he goes. But he's not going to be a Jet again, unless we franchise tag him.
I think he envisions himself as a Bosa or a TJ Watt type of player. And I think his skill in terms of guys playing every down and every snap. I think he's certainly capable. We saw him getting 10.5 sacks on, you know, not playing every down is pretty, you know, says a lot about his skill set. And I think franchise tagging him, because he did say, because Bryce Huff did say, you know, I'm not taking like a hometown discount or anything like that. I think I've earned, you know, the mm-hmm. money, which I respect. I've said it, you know, numerous times on this show.
He's an undrafted free agent.
I'll never
money, dude.
I will never in a million years fault a player. I used to. I'll never fault a player for going after what he thinks he deserves. And Damar Hamlin died on a field last year. This can happen like literally at any moment to these guys. So I would never fault a guy for going after his money, if that's what you know, Bryce Huff feels is best for him, then that's fair. If the Jets can't,
would you trade Will McDonald? Ideally, like, I think you try and resign Bryce and you put McDonald in a deal for like Evans or Devontae or something like that.
Yeah,
oh, I do. Is Evans a free agent?
I think Evans is a free agent.
Yeah. So
I mean, I do that in a heartbeat. Will McDonald seems like a good guy. Had a few flashes of, you know, he's got that bend and that quickness to get around, kind of like Bryce Huff does. But he was the wrong pick.
Yeah. Which Joe Douglas kind of
said yesterday. You know, yeah. He's just like, you know, hindsight's 2020. He's like, he could have taken Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know. He's had a few flashes with Seattle, and he would have been a nice wide receiver too with Garrett. So I think, you know, yeah, hindsight's 2020, but Will McDonald, yeah, he's probably, and he's the type of guy that I think the Jets just envision as a possible Bryce Huff replacement along with Jermaine Johnson. But I think the threat of Jermaine Johnson and Bryce Huff and Quinnen is just so elite as far as getting after the quarterback and getting into the backfield, that thinking about, and not to mention you and I have said it, the idea that he was an undrafted free agent, came here, did what he did, showed, you know, the effort that needed to, that he needed to get that money. I mean, it reverberates through the locker room, showing about hard work. And obviously, you know, CJ Mosley saying it, like, you know, Bryce, stay here, you know, don't go anywhere. We want you here. Obviously the players love him too. So,
but. Yeah, they know. Everyone's acutely aware of when everybody got drafted. You know, it's something that everyone brings up in training camp. When you first get drafted and you're a rookie, everybody knows, like, the teams do, like, the rookie show, the talent show, and they have to say their draft pick, their signing bonus. Everybody knows what everybody's making. It's all public knowledge.
Yep.
And everybody knows that this guy was an undrafted free agent and he has turned into a stud. And they're all rooting for him to get paid. But I also know that they want him to stay. So, I mean, I can't think of anybody else the Jets should use their franchise tag on.
Me neither.
But, yeah, I think they should 100% franchise tag Bryce Huff.
I think it also gives them a flexibility of a tag and trade, if that's the way it goes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
So we'll see. We'll see. I can't think of anybody else who deserves it. Because this team is so young and everybody worth keeping is already under contract. So, next up, Garrett Wilson's really, really miserable. You don't want to feel like this again. How can I be better? How can we be better? I hear I had a good year. It was the worst year of my life. as a football fan, same.
Oof. Yeah, same. Same, Garrett.
The worst football season of my life. Not the worst year of my life. I had a good year, but... But the worst football season.
Pretty bad.
What happened this season can't happen again. It's got to be better. Emphasized. Well, we've got to make adjustments in the game. We've got to figure out something to get it rolling, no matter who is slinging it. He's just unhappy. Sauce Gardner up next said, Jets can't let all the hype distract them like it did coming into this season. I feel like we lost track of some of things. When there's a lot of cameras, you can lose track of the main thing. We still have to go and play through these teams and win. Everything that they said is right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Less distractions next year for sure, which is nice. No hard knocks, no nothing like that. Just head to the grindstone. Is that the phrase?
Yeah. Nose to the grindstone. Something like that. I'm the prop right. ball.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So, all right, next up.
Well, I mean, like, as far as Garrett goes, like, yes, I get it. I mean, guy got over 1,000 yards, still only had 3 touchdowns, but he seems like the kind of guy that, a couple weeks ago, and he was like, you know, oh yeah, I'd like to get to 1,000 yards, and then like. Things kind of when he's like, I don't care about getting 100 catches. He's obviously this guy wants to win and he wants to win badly. He came from Ohio State and a lot of these guys that are star players in the NFL come from these, you know, elite programs like that. And they're just like not used to losing. Like guys on Michigan are going to go to the NFL this year and be like, I just came off what were they? 15-0, something like that. And they're going to be like, yeah, but they're going to get drafted by like shitty NFL teams. And they're going to have to, they're going to have to get used to losing real quick. Cause it's
dude, you know, dude, like CJ Mosley, Alabama, then went to the Ravens, winning his whole career, comes to the Jets, losing. Quinnen Williams, Alabama, winning his whole life, winning, comes to the Jets, losing. Garrett Wilson, Ohio State, losing. Or winning his whole career. Now he's losing. Like, these are all like these guys are all used to winning. When you're in the NFL, that means that you played for teams like you're the best of the best. So all these guys are coming in. They're used to winning and they're getting real sick of it. Even Sauce Gardner, they went to the national championship.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
all these guys.
And it doesn't help when you see,
DJ Reed won at Kansas State or wherever hell he went to. Like,
yeah. And it doesn't help when you see guys, when guys like Garrett see former teammates like CJ Stroud lighting it up and having success. I mean, guys obviously get drafted by, you know, the elite franchises and then they just go right back into winning. But yeah, I mean, things turn got to turn around because obviously Garrett's pissed off. You know,
thank God the Saints didn't make the playoffs. We don't need Chris Olave in his year being like, yeah, never made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Sorry, my boy Paul.
You see that catch? See Olave's catch on Sunday? Nice. That was sweet. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
They're both so good.
By the way, just to sneak it in here, the Jameis stuff, like, I love Jameis. I'm like the most pro. I think the Jameis stuff, like that post game press conference about the, like, you know, getting that final touchdown in.
They don't respect Dennis Allen at all.
Yeah, no, they don't. But him saying, "What was it?" He's like, "Oh, it's 41 cents. How much worse could it get?" Like, yeah. He's like, and I totally get it. He's like, "Yeah, you get the interception, you get it down to the one." I mean, come on, like let's just punch this in. It's sure the game's over, but again, it goes back to, yeah, you don't want people to run up the score. Stop them. Don't throw the interception. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is, but. Going back to Garrett, yeah, he's pissed off, rightfully so. He's doing his best to try and be one of the young leaders for the team. You know, he called that players only meeting a couple months ago. Obviously that didn't do anything for the offense, but you know, at least he's putting in the effort to try and, you know, get things back on the right track for next year. And it's guys are just getting frustrated, and they're probably gonna look at the fact that Saleh's not holding any of the big names on the coaching staff accountable, and they're gonna be pissed off about that too. I'd imagine they're not gonna say it in public, but I imagine amongst themselves they're probably pissed off about it. So you know,
they're going to keep telling themselves all offseason, we get Aaron Rodgers next year, and yeah, you're right. We get Aaron Rodgers next year, but it's just
one man is not going to fix.
At what cost?
At what we've won, but at what cost? And Patriots are probably going to get like Caleb Williams or something like that. You know, with whoever
they're going to get like Jaden Daniels,
and yeah,
he's going to be awesome.
Yeah, right? Drake, something like
Joe Douglas up next. Joe Douglas said having his team being defined not by being able to overcome adversity is not okay, and he put that on himself. Okay, strong start from Joe. On why the Jets didn't add a backup quarterback, said the plan was for Zach Wilson to learn behind Aaron Rodgers, said he felt, quote, we had a good plan in place. Obviously, things didn't work. Hindsight is always
2020.
Joe Douglas said on Zach Wilson, we're going to do what's right for the team. He gone. Here's the money quote on Alan Lazard. I don't think Alan's story is over by a long shot. I think he's a top tier competitor. Alan has a lot of pride. I expect him to come back raring to go. Okay.
Okay.
on the need for more playmakers. We want to have as much playmakers as we can on this team. He's saying a lot of things. Joe Douglas and Bryce Huff. This is part of the business. Bryce isn't the only free agent we want back. Raved about how Huff is a great success story in terms of development, going from an undrafted free agent to this. On drafting Will McDonald instead of wide receiver O-line. That's a fair critique to say. We want as much depth as we can. The arrow is still very high on Will McDonald. He's going to be a difference maker in this league. We always want to be loaded with pass rushers. I understand that opinion. We're going to go into the offseason every year and pick the best player available. You can't pick the best player available this year, Joe.
And you can tell from that quote that he regrets taking Will McDonald.
Yeah, and he said he's going to be a difference maker in this league. Sounds like maybe the plan is to try and trade his ass
and
re-sign Bryce.
And him saying in this league and not on this team.
Yeah.
He rejects. He definitely regrets taking Will McDonald. Yeah. And again, that's not a slight against Will McDonald. Never has been. I just think he was the wrong pick at the time. And the best player available strategy only goes so far when you don't have glaring holes in places. And the offense, not picking the offensive lineman in the first round, I get.
Wait, what do you mean? We had Dwayne Brown ready to go at left tackle.
Dwayne Brown at his bum shoulder. 38-year-old bum shoulder. You know, he was perfect to anchor that offensive line.
That Broderick Jones pick, whatever. Like that guy, I don't even think he was that good this year.
Yeah.
But it was just another body. Like it would have been nice to have him.
Right. But he could have taken the idea that he could have taken the wide receiver.
We got the last laugh, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's Joe Douglas at this point. I mean, he's trying. Yesterday was just about trying to, you know, justify certain moves and try to, you know, not sound like he was making regrets. The Will McDonald quote definitely sounds like he was regretting that, you know, in a big way. And Zach Wilson, even before that, who was it, the Jay Glazer report or whoever reported that they're going to trade him?
Jay.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to have like the best insight out of anyone. Between that and the Wink Martindale stuff. But yeah, I think whatever the Jets get, I mean, there's one thing we can, every Jet fan can agree on with Joe Douglas is that he somehow manages to always come out on top, it seems, when he's making trades. So the Jets aren't going to get anything near what they got for Sam Darnold that they did for Zach Wilson. So anyone that is expecting or hoping that they get something that high is, you know, crazy. But
I'm praying for like a fourth or fifth rounder.
A fourth
is a pipe dream, but
that would be amazing. If you somehow manage to pull that off, he's a wizard. Great. I don't even know what to describe him at that point.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
All right. So what's next? Douglas still talking said, when the Jets signed Dalvin Cook, they felt good about Breece Hall coming off the ACL, but he hadn't played yet. They felt like they were getting a Pro Bowl running back at market price. Again, hindsight is 20/20. The guy hadn't practiced at all. He was not in shape. I don't know. I feel like the money could have been allocated towards the offensive line, but or a quarterback. But again, hindsight's 20/20. We felt that was a safe decision.
And I understand the idea of, I think every Jet fan did about Zach, like not signing the backup quarterback and then allocating that money towards Dalvin Cook because he wanted Zach to sit behind Rodgers. But
I can't bash the Dalvin Cook move really because I was all for it. I was like, cool, like another weapon. You know, like great. This is good. And we had Rodgers when he signed him. Like, you know, this was going to be good. It was supposed to be a safe decision, but again, you know, we just didn't have a need. We didn't have a use for him. Like when Breece proved that he was really healthy, like right away almost. And I don't know. I mean, we all watched this season. There was no role for him really. He was like, he wasn't very good and the Jets were even worse. So,
I understand. I totally understood the signing at the time because they obviously were no longer confident in Michael Carter based on last season. And then they felt Izzy wasn't ready. And I think we all saw finally that they were right. You know, got struggles with holding onto the ball, struggles blocking. We all saw that. So they felt that they just didn't have a quality backup to Breece, and if they were going to ease Breece into the season, it did make sense to get a guy like Dalvin Cook again. So I can't fault Joe Douglas here, and hindsight in this case truly is 20/20. You know, every Jet fan shouldn't get on Douglas's case for that. It's more of the, you know, maybe using the money towards the backup quarterback because they still could have gotten someone when they signed Cook, I think, instead of, you know, putting the money towards him. They still could have gotten someone better. So it's it was a weird situation, but yeah, now Dalvin Cook's with Baltimore and has a pretty decent shot at winning a Super Bowl now. So
yeah, they should be the favorite to win out of the AFC.
Yep.
All right, we're getting some real juicy quotes here. Douglas, you need to win. My record is not good enough. I know that. That's good that he knows that.
Yeah, it's good that he knows that.
Here's the real money quote. Joe Douglas on why Robert Saleh is the right coach to lead the Jets forward. His answer, and I quote, "Robert is the right coach because he is the right man for the job." In the history of saying nothing, that is the most nothing I have ever heard anyone say. Robert is the right coach because he is the right man for the job.
It's like, what does that even mean, dude? Like, I don't.
I'm insulted.
Yeah,
I'm angry at that quote, because that just is insulting our intelligence. He has no real answer. That's what that tells me.
And I mean, he had to know that question was going to get asked.
He's like, dude, what do you want me to say? All right, like, we had this plan. We fucked up. Clearly, we didn't have a good backup plan. And everything that could have gone wrong went wrong this year. like, get off my back. That's basically what that quote says to me. Like, he was just sitting there like, Jesus Christ, stop asking me about this. Like, Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. That's why we were bad. Like, that's why we sucked. And it's true. But we also suck because of you, Joe. We suck because you didn't have any backup plan. You did a horrible job constructing this offensive line. And you picked the wrong quarterback, man.
Right.
Picked a horrible quarterback. Justin Fields would have done better with this team. Hands down.
You know, I mean, the Bears are in the
He's doing more with worse in Chicago.
Yeah, and the Bears are in the most interesting position of the offseason now.
Yes, for sure.
They're the first overall pick. Like, what the hell are they going to do?
Yeah.
You know, they have their choice.
Most lopsided trade I've ever seen in any sport. Oh, my God.
It's the Panthers.
They get two number one picks out of two of the last 3 years. They get a number one pick. Back-to-back for number one overall picks. That's what it was, right?
Yeah, and DJ Moore.
Like, DJ Moore, unbelievable!
It's insane. There's no there. I wonder why Bryce Young didn't do well this season. I wonder why it didn't work. You know, you got rid of Christian McCaffrey 2 years ago, or was it last season that they traded McCaffrey away?
I can't remember.
Yeah, and then you got rid of DJ Moore. You got rid of the two guys who could have helped a rookie quarterback succeed. And you know, it's a wonder that, you know. It's truly baffling how it didn't work out for.
They probably had. They mean they had bad coaching, bad personnel. I feel bad for Bryce.
Yeah.
I think Bryce would have been pretty good in Houston, but again, it's all about situation. And his situation was really bad, really bad. Just like, and now he Tepper's without a doubt the worst owner in the league. Like, it's just a bad situation.
Yeah. Panthers are going nowhere fast.
Having this kind of season and you don't have a first round pick.
Oof. Like, that's tough.
So bad.
The first overall pick. Like, the Bears, if they stick with Fields, they're going to be able to get Marvin Harrison Jr. And then they have another pick at what, like 6 or 7. So the Bears are.
What do you do? Do you trade down like 3 spots and take Marv, or do you take him at 1 overall?
If it were me, you're
keeping Fields, you just take Marv, and you're just like, all right, you get DJ and Marv. There's no excuses now.
Right.
You have your own pick at like whatever, like 9 or like 12 or whatever a pick is.
Right.
And you can take a defensive end or something, something on defense or a cornerback.
If it were me in their scenario, I would probably trade one for a king's ransom, because I mean, you can, like, the Giants would probably give you,
you're gonna keep Fields, just what, take Neighbors and like
you could get a whole lot. I mean, depending on who would be calling.
Are there any teams with multiple firsts this year?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah, is the NFL draft order out?
Top 16 would be. Or 18, rather.
It's top 11's done. No repeats.
Bears pick
Bears.
The Bears pick at 1 and 9. So, I mean, Let's see here. Commanders will be taking a QB. Pats are taking a QB. Chargers aren't. Giants.
Cardinals won't. Giants won't.
You don't think they're going to take a QB?
Yeah, Titans won't. They like Levis.
Yeah, Atlanta will.
Atlanta will, and then it's us. So like yeah. I'm like, you know, I think the Cardinals and the Chargers will probably the Chargers could take a wide receiver. Or Brock Bowers or something.
Yeah.
The Titans could take a wide receiver. The Falcons taking a quarterback. Bears are, might take an offensive lineman. I don't know. I mean, maybe Joe Altman falls. Joe Alt, whatever the hell his name is. I think Olu's going to go first. And there's that kid from Alabama we could take at 10.
Yeah. I think that a lot of Jets fans freaking out about them dropping from like 6 or 7 to 10. I think the stress is a little bit unwarranted because so many teams ahead of them are going to be taking quarterbacks. Yeah, they're going to miss out on Marvin Harrison. They're going to miss out on none of the quarterbacks because they're the top 10 the top 10 quarterbacks none of the Jets are going to be picking. So,
mm-hmm.
They might miss out on the top 2 tackles. It's possible, but this isn't the case of like last year where those are the only 2 first round caliber offensive linemen. You miss out on the top, you know, guys like Joe Alt, but you're still going to probably get a really good tackle. You're going to, it's like we said a couple weeks ago, they're stuck with Tomlinson, I'm pretty sure, cap wise. You got Tippmann, AVT's coming back. So you really need 3 new offensive linemen, and then you're going to draft 1 in the first round. And then I don't know what you do trying to get the second round pick back for the Jets if you want to trade back, but I don't know. Yeah, a lot of fixes.
Arizona has 2 firsts.
Okay.
They have 4 and the Houston's pick.
Oh.
Houston has Cleveland's pick, and that's all of the crossover other than the Bears.
Right.
I think Carolina's. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the draft season's going to be interesting. I didn't really care who the Jets took last year because we, you know.
Right. It was the least kind of interesting draft to me for a while because I thought we were set up for success in a great way by that point. And
we were idiots.
Sweet summer children, you know. And I'm glad that, you know, the hype is now non-existent for next season. So mm-hmm. We know where they are. And we know what teams they're playing now. They're playing the Broncos, but they don't have to go to Denver. So you see what ABT said about that?
No, but he must be thrilled.
No, he was just like, yeah, I know we're playing the Broncos, but I'm pretty sure I know we're playing the Broncos at home, but if we had to go to Denver, I think I'd tell Joe Douglas that I'm not playing. That yeah, I'd just be sitting that game.
and I would not blame him.
Not even a little bit. But yeah, so Jets are in a weird spot now, as they usually are this time of year, and start to get ready to defend that off-season champion's crown, because this is when they do it. This is when they make that run, as they always do. 3 years champs and running.
Oh yeah. it's I'm just so tired of it, man. I'm so tired of being the off-season champs. I want to be the real season champs.
I
want to
be the real season champs. I want to be racing.
I want to be the real season champs. Yeah.
The Super Bowl happens every year around my birthday. You know how great that of a birthday present that would be?
Oh, I get the draft on my birthday.
Nice.
Yeah, so every year.
It's like polar 26. Opposite. So
it's
like,
always my birthday. Oh, it was a great birthday gift. It was on my birthday. All right, what else? Is there anything else that I missed from yesterday? I think I covered everybody that spoke. We have Aaron Rodgers speaking in a little under 2 hours at 1 o'clock.
On McAfee.
That'll be interesting.
Some other gems.
Yeah.
Let's hope he doesn't call anybody pedophile again.
Seriously. No news.
Any other big news? Garrett Wilson switched his number. He's officially 5 again.
Yes. So our jerseys are vintage now.
They're vintage. Mine's already a throwback.
Now it's even more of a throwback.
So I hope this means Thomas Morstead's not like retiring or leaving because he's the man. Him and
I hope he takes 17.
If they just did a little jersey swap, that actually. Yeah. I mean, what's the number to Thomas Morstead? I mean, he probably doesn't care.
If you don't got anything else, I ain't got anything else.
Good.
I think that we covered pretty much everything that's gone on yesterday, which is pretty much all the news that's gone on. I am rooting for the Detroit Lions to win the Super Bowl.
Me too.
They won't. I don't think they can beat the 49ers to even get there, but.
Shout out the NFL scriptwriters for Wildcard Weekend sending Stafford and the Rams to Detroit to play golf and the Lions.
Lions are going to lose in the first round, aren't they, Stafford?
I hope not. Like, the Rams, they're so boring.
Let's see, who's favored?
They're the NFC version of the Chiefs, and they're not as good. Like,
Lions -3.
Oh, yeah, they're home. I want to see that. Yeah, God. It'd be so awesome to just see them win. You know, they haven't had a playoff win since like 93, right? Something crazy like that.
Two 9-8 teams in the playoffs, both in the NFC.
Yeah, that sounds about
horrible. Horrible.
Also, the Eagles stink.
Yeah, they're
complete
really bad.
Frauds. Jalen Hurts just absolutely like snapped, like breaking his finger on Sunday, but total frauds.
Is Jalen Hurts a fraud?
I mean, is there?
He's got some allegations
he needs to beat, I think. And these playoffs are going to be a big big test for him when it comes to beating those allegations. So I hope he's ready to step up to the plate. But I'm rooting for the Lions. My guy Dan Campbell. Love Dan Campbell.
This weekend. Texans, yeah. Chiefs, Bills, Cowboys, Lions, Bucks, Eagles over Bucks. But I think I kind of want to see the Bucks win. I don't know.
I kind of want to see the Bucks win. I need the Eagles.
It would be better for the Lions.
Yeah. I'm rooting for Texans, Chiefs, Steelers, because I mean,
Do they reseed? Is that how it works?
Did they? What do you mean?
Like next round? Like how would?
I'm actually not sure, but yeah, Texans.
Let's find out.
Texans, Chiefs, Steelers to beat the Bills would be fun, even though they're not going to. I'm pulling for the Packers. Still don't like the Cowboys and the Lions. Yeah. And then it'd be awesome for the Bucks to beat the Eagles. You know,
that'd be great.
It'd be fun.
All right, man.
At Connor, Connor, __ Sheeran, Sheeran.
And they can follow me at Jesse Finver, JesseFinver. It's been an interesting season, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Another season in the books.
I'm praying to our Lord and Savior, Aaron Rodgers, that we'd be better next year.
please, God, you got us. This team got us out of fourth place. That's kind of cool. they finally are out of fourth place. Baby steps.
All right, that's it for us. We'll be back. I don't know when. It's the off season now for us. But we'll be back definitely for the draft and
free agency.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Peace.